I guess I'll start by telling you guys that I got clean in this region, the CMP region. I got clean in Frederick, Maryland. And actually, I came to the first CMP regional convention, and we think it was in 1986. We were trying to remember when it was. My friend Linda and I came to that convention, and I've been coming to this convention every year since then. Recently I moved to South Carolina, so now I'm a resident of South Carolina, but I was asked to come up and lead this workshop. I was coming up anyway because I was told by my friend Linda and my sister that just because I moved didn't mean I could, you know, not do our usual annual thing and come to the convention and have our women's weekend at the convention. So here I am, and I was asked to speak on the third step, and the third step, as everybody knows, is we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I really haven't had a lot of time to think about what I was going to say about the third step, which is good, because it's my experience that normally when I think about what I want to share, I get up here and I can't remember anything I thought about anyway. And I'm really tired because I drove up from South Carolina last night after work, and I got to my sister's house in Frederick at 3 in the morning, and then got back up at 6 in the morning, and we went and picked up Linda in Ellicott City and drove here. So I'm kind of delirious, so whatever you hear is going to be what you're supposed to hear today. But earlier, I was in the hotel room trying to take a nap, and I was thinking about the third step, and I was thinking about the first time that I ever consciously took the third step. And I remember it exactly because I was in a place in my recovery, I was early in recovery, and I was in a relationship that was very destructive to me. I was in a relationship with a man that was very emotionally abusive and treated me really like shit, to be frank about it. And I remember being at a place in my recovery thinking, you know, this feels really familiar. You know, what is it about this relationship that feels so familiar? And it occurred to me that it was the same kind of relationship I had been in active addiction with my children's father. And it was the same kind of relationship I often had found myself in throughout my life, with people that were abusive towards me in some way, shape, or form. And I would like hang in there, you know, and think they're going to get better, or I can fix them, or this is what I deserve, you know. And I'd sit around waiting for him to come home, and he'd be out screwing around with who knew what, you know. And I would put up with it. And I remember being at a meeting. It was a woman's meeting, and it was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and my sister had just gotten clean. And I would go up there and visit her sometime, and we'd go to meetings. And this woman stood up and said, "The same person will use again." And, you know, I had heard that at meetings, but like that day, I heard it. And, you know, that was when I first made the decision to stop living Susan's will and to start to try to live my higher power's will. And I knew my higher power didn't want me to be in an abusive relationship. And even though I was afraid, because I didn't know, I never ended relationships. I would just hang in there till the bitter, grisly end, you know. And so I knew that what I needed to do was to do something different and make a decision to live differently than I had always lived before. And that's the first time I ever worked a third step. And this today, when I was laying in the hotel room trying to take a nap, and I remembered that, it was revealed to me why I was asked to do this workshop today. because I'm in the process recently of letting go of another relationship. And even though this relationship isn't quite as bad as that relationship was those 15, 16 years ago, there's still some of the same elements in this relationship that were in that relationship. Some of the same behaviors and same dynamics, and it puts me in the same place that I would get in then, you know. But I've always heard it said it's like layers of an onion, you know, and we peel away the layers of an onion. And, you know, I believe for me, I'm going to keep getting the lessons until I can learn to do them right, you know, or get better. And that's what, you know, one of my goals for hanging around here is I want to get better. And I never would have said that when I first came here, trust me. That was not a goal I had when I first came here. But now it is, you know, I want to become a better person. And so I was thinking about that today because, you know, way back then, the first time I worked the third step, I had to let go absolutely. And it talks about in our literature that reservations rob us from the benefits of this program. And, you know, I've been in some ways emotionally hanging on to this situation. And, you know, talking about the third step today reminded me that I just need to let go and move forward. And that's what this step's about. It's about letting go and stepping out on faith or moving forward on faith and knowing for me that my higher power has a plan for me and I just have to show up and be present and be led in that direction. And I told you that I recently moved, and it was interesting because this year when I was going through the struggle of this relationship ending, a little over a year ago, I was just buying a house with this person. And, you know, here I am now. I'm living in Charleston, South Carolina. And I have a new job, and I have a new place to live. And, you know, I live like 5 minutes from the ocean, which is one of the things I've always wanted to do. And a couple months ago, I was getting ready to close on this house, you know, because I sold it to the person I had purchased it with. And I was feeling a little bit bored with my job. And I started thinking, you know, I want to find another job. And then I was thinking, well, you know, I have to find a new place to live also. And then the thought just occurred to me, you know, you've always talked about wanting to move down to the ocean. Why don't you do it? And I started sending off resumes, and I sent a resume to Charleston. I didn't know anybody there at the time. And 4 days after I sent out my resume, a woman called me and interviewed me for a job, and things just fell into place, you know. And I'm down there now, and I've started to become involved with Narcotics Anonymous there. I have a new sponsee in Charleston. And, you know, I know that I was supposed to go down there. I just know that I was supposed to go down there. And that's part of the third step for me, too, is, you know, like I said, just doing the next right thing. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is the we part of the third step. And the reason why, and people who know me, and there's only really one person in here right now who knows me, and people who know me know I'm not really a we kind of person. I'm sort of a loner, and I'm isolative, and I have a hard time, you know, like most people when they first meet me think of me as kind of like being aloof and kind of guarded, you know, because I'm not really a we kind of person. And but this step says, you know, we made a decision. And what that means to me today is that each of us individually and collectively have to make that decision. And it says in the basic text that no one else can make that decision for us. And that's true because I've seen other addicts that I've known and love have made a decision to not stay here, you know, and to go back out and use. Or they've made a decision to not turn their will and life over to the care of God as they understand Him. And, you know, this step tells me that I have to accept that. You know, I'm powerless over what other people, the decisions that other people make, you know, but it is a choice. And it's not a choice that's forced on any of us. The other thing that I like about this step is it says God as we understood Him. And that's been always really important to me also, because I'm a very hard-headed person and I'm rebellious. It talks about rebelliousness in the basic text. And I really feel strongly about being able to have a personal relationship with a higher power, and that no one else can, you know, I don't have a right to, like, make you believe in my higher power, and you don't have that right to infringe your higher power on me, too. And that's one of the really beautiful parts about Narcotics Anonymous is, you know, we can come here and all have our own beliefs, you know, in our own relationship with a higher power, but do that collectively. And that's really important to me. I know I'm supposed to share for 30 minutes, but I knew I couldn't share for 30 minutes. In fact, the other day I was kind of thinking, you know, all there really is to say about the third step is, you know, you just do the next right thing. That's how you work the third step, you know. And so I'm going to thank everybody for listening and thank everybody for being here. And I'm going to turn the meeting over to this really nervous guy. And thanks for listening. I'll keep coming back.
Thank you, Susan. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker. His name is Eddie T.
How y'all doing? My name is Eddie T. I'm an addict. And I am nervous. I never did this before, but I came to this convention for quite a while. And they say you gotta give it away to get it back. I didn't have much time to think about it because today is probably one of the most busiest days I've had. And I was running around in the house with workers in the house earlier, and then was riding down, took a ride on the ferry over here, and checked in, and I had about 10 minutes left before I got here. So I didn't think much, but you know, what I do have is I have my strength, hope, and experience about this step that I've lived in my life. And when I first came around, I had a lot of experience with a lower power. I had an experience about turning my will and my life over to the care of a lower power, and that what I call it is being in the grips and not being able to make rational decisions or not being in control of anything. And so I had a lot of understanding of that, and I also had a lot of understanding once I stopped using and came out of the grips of being self-willed and being caught up in that grip. And so for me, turning things over to a higher power, or turning my life, the care of my life over to a higher power, was a hard thing to do because I just depended on me too much. When you even mentioned the word God, I got nervous because the God that I knew, the God that I understood, was I was raised Catholic, and I went to church, and everybody got up like little soldiers, and they went, and they sat up there, and they went through this routine, and then they left, and God was so far away from me that I really couldn't identify what God was. God was just bigger than me and was punishing, and it was scary. It was a lot more scary to come up here and speaking. But anyway, so I had that part about coming to, as we understand Him, I had to start to understand God. And I remember I paint, and it was funny because two or three years clean, and I was painting, and I was painting a church outside of this church, and the pastor was out in the parking lot, and he came around, and he was talking, and we started talking about this and everything, you know what I mean? And he made me realize that that I just like ran away from God is what I did, and so he wanted me to come back and everything, and you know, I went back to church for a while. But I didn't come to an understanding of God as I did, like, living my life and coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to back up a little bit. When I had about a year and a half clean, one of the things that I did in recovery was get active with Oxford Houses. And I got a job working for them. I'd been painting for a long time. That's all I ever did was paint. And I got a job opening up recovery houses, going and trying to find houses and opening them up. And I went up into New Jersey to do this. And I remember, you know, feeling really good about that because I was doing something with recovery and getting to meet new people and going to meetings and everything in different places. And it was really exciting for me. But what happened is I was sitting around talking to this guy one day. He had a lot of time clean. And I was telling him, I said, well, this is like working the third step for me. Because, you know, I'm out doing God's will, because this has got to be God's will for me to be helping, you know, I got clean and now I'm helping other addicts. And then he asked me, he says, well, you know, do you got a place at home still? And I said, yeah. He says, well, you ain't let go of nothing, you know what I mean? You still got you to fall on. And so what I did, because the willings were there, and this is the time that I made my decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood him. Was then, because I went back and I gave up my place to stay and I just went out on the road. And what happened was about 2 weeks later, I ended up, I had two kids that were with their mother, and their mother went into rehab, and I ended up taking them two kids, and I couldn't continue to do the work that I was doing. So I had two kids and I didn't have a place to stay, and my job was opening recovery houses. So I brought them with me for about two or three weeks, and enough time, actually about a month, but enough time for their mother to come back out, and she took them back, but I still did not have a place to stay, but I had made the decision, and I had tried to practice to the best of my ability to turn my will and my life over, and for the next 2 years, I went from Oxford House to Oxford House, where they were really not doing too good and helping them out. I didn't have a job for 2 years. I didn't have no money. I went and I never did without food, and I never did without a place to sleep for 2 years. And God was taking care of me. I knew that. One day, to give you an example, this house is just brand new and they needed a bunch of furniture. I had a van. I was going to go get some furniture. I had like $5 in my pocket. There was a addict that was been smoking crack for like forever, and he had like about maybe 2 hours clean, and he was going to go into rehab the next day, and I had him with me so he could stay clean because he couldn't go by himself. And so we went and we packed up a lunch with the last $5 I had, and we were driving down 95, and I got a flat tire, and I'm on the shoulder of 95 with no money. An attic that's just barely clean, well, ain't really clean, and I, you know, I'm just driving down the shoulder, and what happened is we're going down for a while, and I was going to just go bumpity bump down to the next exit and go and come off, and there's this work truck on the side, and they got all these like workers picking up trash on the side and everything, and one guy in the front's like half asleep in the driver's seat. And I'm sitting there beeping the horn because I can't pull out into 95 or I'm dead. And I can't, you know, there's a big incline that way. So I gotta do something. So anyway, he finally heard me and he called them all in and he just drove off. And about 50 yards up the road, where I'm still going clumpy clump, and the addict goes, hey, wait a minute. And he looks on the side of the road and he found $243 laying on the side of the road. And he went, and we bumped to the gas station. He brought me breakfast, brought me a tire, and we went and got the furniture. You know what I mean? And that's how life was for me for those 2 years, you know what I mean? So for me to believe that God's going to take care of me is an easy thing to do because I experienced it. And that's what we get in these rooms is we get experience that God is there with us. And that's a God that I can understand. And it's somebody that something that I know that I can't see, but I know I'm safe. And that's how I feel when I come into the rooms and Narcotics Anonymous is safe. And that's where I find the God of, that's where I find an understanding of my God is in these rooms too in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, what I try to do, how I try to practice the third step in my life is I try to in situations that I know are critical, I try to make a conscious effort first to pray on that and actively just give it over to God and say, take this, I need your help with this, I can't do this by myself. And I try to do that. And I have experience when I do that it works out. Another story I can tell you about that is I was open in New Jersey. I was opening a house, and I did that first. I prayed. I said, "Okay, you know, this is a big job. I can't do it on my own. There's not a lot of people down there. I need help." So I prayed on it, and I went down there, and we started opening this house, and it was in a historical society, and all the neighbors around the house were, like, really, really important people, and they said, "No way, you're not coming in here." And they knew the news. They were putting on, like, that night, they went on the news about how they were going to make a final stand, and there was no way that house was ever going to be there. And, you know, I was like, wait a minute, I just prayed on this. You know, I mean, this couldn't possibly be happening. You know what I mean? And what happened was that, you know, it ended up that because it was on the news, everybody heard about it. And really the only people that were mad about it were the ones that lived right next door. And that there was an overwhelming support that came out of the community, and that house was there. And that's how God works, is that, you know, what I do, my will, what I do is I go out and I do what's best for Eddie. But what God's will, when he gets in the middle of it, it's best for everybody. And that it all works out for the good for everybody. And that's why it's easy today for me to even though I want it, even though I do go out and just do my will, when it comes to knowing which one's better, I know for a fact that God's will is better. And I know that God today, that I have an understanding of that God, and I feel safe with that God. And that's what the third step is doing for me, has done for me today. It's freed up my getting in the way of myself, and it's freed up me from that lower power that I knew, and it's just freedom is a good way to put it. And I'm still nervous, but you know, I knew this was going to come eventually. But I've been coming to this. I'm sort of like Susan here. I got clean in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I in '92 I moved to New Jersey, and I've been coming back to this convention like ever since '92, '93, something like that. And this convention is important for me because a lot of people that I got clean with, I come and I'm able to see them here and there, you know. And it seemed like for a while, like the number would get smaller, and I'd get a little disappointed like that way. But then when I come back and then I'd see, and after a while, I continue to see these faces, it was a lot of hope that was there too. So it really feels good to be able to come here and to share and be here to talk about this third step. And I think I ran out of words too. But I'd like to thank the convention and thank everybody for listening to me. Thank you.
React to someone else's action. I was able to let go and let God for the first time in my life. And that was my own personal experience with the third step. Thanks for letting me share that.
I'm Alvin. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
It's only by God's grace that I stand here clean. And I thank the people who shared. And my experience with the third step, man, is trying to unravel my relationship with God and with what the literature was talking about. When I got here, you know, my relationship with God was an understanding of that of an 8-year-old boy. You know, that's the kind of relationship I had. You know, I remember going to you know, Sunday schools as a little boy, man. And so when I got here, it hadn't grown up. So what Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to do, man, is have my own relationship with a God. And it took me a little while, you know, because I was like, I'm a man here. Every time they mention God, man, I get the heebie-jeebies, right? And I'd be trying to figure out, well, you know, why are they talking about God? Why don't they start talking about, you know, shooting dope? Or, you know, why aren't they talking about, you know, getting chased by the police? I wanted to hear more war stories. I didn't want to hear anything spiritual. I didn't want to progress in my recovery, you know, because I had that fear. And it didn't help that, you know, most of the meetings you go to are in churches. So, you know, you got a man up here, you're sitting there with a relationship with God of an 8-year-old, punishing and fearful. You're in a church with pictures of the baby Jesus everywhere, and somebody talking about God, it wasn't mixing. But what happened, I kept coming back, you know, and they told me to keep coming back. And what happened, man, I started to listen and I started to hear. I started to kind of move up front as opposed to sitting in the back. You know, I started checking out, you know, the people who were working this program and, you know, who had a program of recovery. I stopped worrying about, you know, how I looked when I came into the meeting. And in essence, what I was doing, man, you know, I started focusing on, the inside as opposed to the outside. And it gave me some time to reflect. And then one day I was in a meeting, man, and they were reading it, and they said, you don't have to be religious to get this thing. And I had been in a meeting for years, man, and I kept hearing it, you do not have to be religious. You do not have to be religious. And then one day, man, it seemed like, you know, my mind was open and opportunity met readiness. And when somebody read that, man, it just like somebody had hit an anvil with a hammer. And I figured it out. It ain't about religion, Alvin. And see, for me, you know, even though people were saying it, you know, I wasn't interpreting it like that. You know, it was God and religion as far as I knew it for all of my life. So when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, it was a challenge for me to separate. So when I had that spiritual awakening, man, you know, I realized I could truly have the God that I wanted. You know, not your God, not his God. Not God based on any kind of formula, any kind of institution, any kind of practices. I could just have the God of my understanding. And once that happened for me, man, it opened up the door for me to really establish that relationship with God and started turning things over to God. And it was very helpful for me to understand that it really is not about religion, man. It's about a spiritual awakening. It's about spiritual principles. For me, when I'm trying to figure out what's God's will and what's my will, if I'm out to get revenge, if it's about hate, if it's about bias, if it's about those kind of things, man, I know that's not God's will for me. Now, do I do that? Do I try to get revenge? If you cut me off, do I speed down the street sometimes and figure out, try to catch up with you, get a finger? Yes, you know, there are times when that'll happen. You know, what I've come to find out, working this program of recovery, man, is not about being perfect, man. It's about recognition, you know, of my behavior. You know, when I'm practicing spiritual principles of love, peace, and harmony, and understanding, then I attribute that to God's will working in my life. So I have to kind of, for me, it, you know, works in kind of a tangible form so that, you know, that I can understand it, you know, because if I don't understand it, man, then it doesn't mean anything to me, you know. So that's how, you know, the third step works in my life. God's will keeps me on one side of the street, you know, dealing with spiritual principles of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know, and my will keeps me on the side of the street, man. Well, I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to give you shorts, you know, and you know, I'm filled with hate and revenge. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Kelvin. And on behalf of the program committee, I'd like to thank the speakers and the secretary. Before we close, we got a few minutes. I was sitting there thinking, I was listening to what Alvin was sharing about his experience about that. And see, it happened to me in November 27, 1996, and I'm at Prince William County Jail. And I was thinking about how many times I had went in the jail. Every time, you know, I got a spiritual awakening of God is when the police put the handcuffs on me. And the old God helped me. You know what I'm saying? And when I would go into the, you know, in receiving areas of the jails, and you know you ain't got no dope in you, and you're sick, and you know you're gonna be sick, and you know you ain't gonna get none, so you called on God some more. You know, but after I had got out of treatment and everything and was home, and I had got a job working with a guy doing home improvement, so I was sitting at Vienna Metro Station one day waiting for him to pick me up one morning. And while I was just sitting there, I watched this robin, you know, fly in, and she hopped around, she picked her beak full of worms, and she just flew away. You know, and then something told me that if I take care of that bird, I can take care of you. And I said, wow. So then about a week later, I was sitting on another job site because I was waiting for the building inspectors. And I watched this squirrel. You know, we all know a squirrel, when he get in the middle of the road, he don't know which way to go. But anyway, the school bus was coming. But anyway, sad to say the squirrel didn't make it because it knocked his nuts out. But you know, and I watch it, and so God said, that's life and that's death in an instant. And I thought about me, the times that I had, you know, when I had shot some dope, and I didn't know that I had actually OD'd, and I woke up, one time I woke up at Haynes Point, the next time I was on 18th and Columbia Road. Didn't know how I got there, didn't know what happened in between. And that was not only the first time, so all that made me reflect back to the times that on my will, I did some things that could have had my life, but yet God still protected me. You know, God of my understanding. Not the God that they say that I have to go and kneel down and pray to and all this, but the God that I seen, the God that shows me through a bird that, you know, he'll take care of me. And thank God he has done that. You know, my sponsor, when I was doing the third step, he told me, he said, it's just simple. Doing the next right thing, you know, and it has worked for me. It's kept me clean. It has kept me, for one thing, it has kept me out of your business. It kept me out of my neighbor's business. You know, it's kept me from going there trying to tell the people that I work for how to run their company better. You know, it just helped me to go in there, be humble, to be the best that I can be, knowing that you know, it could have been the other way for me, because the example of that squirrel showed me it could have been the other way. So many times when I was on my wheel, how things just always went wrong. You know, homeless, you know, hopeless, you know, and it was just, a miracle that one time I had also thought about. I remember a couple months ago, I was just sitting there thinking. I was remembering, thinking back, all the so-called friends I had that was using with me, and none of them is here today. No, that's a long list of guys my age and older and younger that is not here. You know, but they chose to. You know, I was a follower. I was no leader. I was not a hell of a guy. I was no great thief. I was a petty thief. You know, and I wanted to fit in with everybody else, so I did what everybody else did. But I came to find out that God, through my surrendering and stopped using drugs and alcohol and the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, showed me a new way to live. You know, how to appreciate you people, how to help y'all instead of try to say, I like to get what he got or find, you know, wish she got that. You know, and it helps me just to be humble, and just helps me to be a very humble person today. You know, and again, on behalf of the program committee, my name is Kelvin, and thanks for letting me share.
Okay. I want to thank Susan and Eddie for speaking, and I want to thank everybody for sharing. Someone has the just for today. Can you come up and read it? All right.